Like to bring you greetings from our Saviors in Thief River. This is where we attend, and as was announced earlier, we're having the annual conference there, and it's quite an undertaking. It's a lot of planning, a lot of work, and as you've heard probably, the school is remodeling, the high school, and that's where they're having the conference. So there's a lot of things going on there with that, and appreciate your prayers. Appreciate, too, that your parish is volunteering to bring one of the lunches there. That's an undertaking, too, and we thank you for that. One of the things that happens when we get a little older is we get forgetful. I met Joseph at the other parish, and then John here is twin brother, so it was kind of nice to get reacquainted again. That was good. Christians need to be alive and joyful. They've got a tremendous message that God has given to them to celebrate about. And when we come to full grips with it, it is a joyful message. And today I've entitled my message then, Live Christ. And the text is found for us on this Ascension Sunday from from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53, and let us stand in respect again of God's word. Luke 24, 44 through 53. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things were written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he departed from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these words. Your words are holy and meant to lead us on in this life, even on to eternal life. Sanctify us then in these words that we might be that people that you have called us to be. Help us, Lord, also to be the repentant ones and the ones that preach that word, that we need to repent before you and live on in your ways. Guide us in this, Lord. We need your help. May your spirit be present upon us. We seek it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin the message this morning, I'd like to turn to another portion of Scripture that talks about the living Christ, the fact that we are to live Christ. And it's also from Luke. It's from the 9th chapter, and it's verses 23 through 26. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Notice it says himself. And that happens in this life and throughout eternity. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of his holy angels." When we consider that, I think we need to look to the text here and see the setting of it as well. You remember the two men that were on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus joined them on the way? It doesn't tell us that the men saw him coming up. It just tells us that he joined them. And then he began to explain the scriptures to them as they were walking. They were so sad because Jesus had been crucified, you remember. And they were saying after he left, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And at that supper, then they had understood this. And then Jesus disappeared from them. And they were in Emmaus at that time, and that's some distance from Jerusalem, so they got in their Cadillac and drove back. I don't think so. They had to walk back, and it was evening. And they did it. Their hearts were burning within them. And they went back, and they found the 11 and the others that were gathered with them. They found them. Those 11 and the others were shaking in their boots. They were fearful for their lives. They had seen Jesus already be put to death. And they knew that if they were out in the open with their meetings, they too were open to that same type of crucifixion. It was a very violent time to be living. So they were hiding. But these two men, they found him, and while they were telling these 11, they were so joyful that they said, "Jesus is risen. He spoke with us. We know this." And the others were kind of questioning it, but right at that time, Jesus stood in their midst. And that's where we have our text today. Jesus, right in the midst of this group, after his death, he is now appearing to them, and he tells them instructions to the church. And the church, of course, is people. He said, "These are my words." Now, someone who is coming back from the dead, someone who is the Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he says, "These are my words." What does that tell us? Doesn't it tell us to know the word? Isn't the word so very important? John 1:1 tells us, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." And John 1:14, it tells us, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Know the word. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." As we seek to know that word, we need to pray for an open mind. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, it tells us in 45. Pray for that for yourselves. By the way, pray for that for your pastor especially. That God would open his mind to let the word soak in so that he can share it with you. Pray for an open mind as you come into the house of worship, for it is the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The Lord Jesus Christ himself that has come to us. The first words that Jesus gives to the church, and the church is people, the church is us, this is today, he says, "These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and they are recorded for us." It has been recorded. It was recorded even at the time of Jesus. It was recorded, in, as Jesus says, in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, all of the scriptures at that time. My, how we need to understand that John 1:1. "The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Understand that great miracle. Because it's right before us even today. And it comes to us through the foolishness of preaching. I wish to say the elegance. It isn't that way. God has deemed to give to us this great miracle. God, you see, has come to us. It was much predicted in that Old Testament, and it is fulfilled for us in the New Testament. When I think about that great miracle, I think of Josh McDowell. He was a professor in a university, a lawyer, teaching lawyers, a pronounced atheist. He said, "I am going to disprove all of this folly and fantasy of Christian religion." He went into it and studied it out. He wrote a book. He wrote a book and he entitled it "Evidence That Demands a Verdict." It's about that thick and it's about that big. Not a small book. He was fully convinced after he saw the evidence. There is much more written that we have than just the scriptures that we have before us. There's a lot of other manuscripts. And when he began to study it all, he wrote another book. He entitled it "More Evidence That Demands a Verdict." It's all there right before us. Jesus said so in the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms. Now it's before us. My friends, we decide in these matters. Now, I can't decide to be a fish out in this beautiful lake that you have east of you here. I just can't do that. That's not within our powers, is it? I can't decide to be a bird. That's just the way it is. We are human beings. God has made us that way. It's the same with the decisions that we have to make. And we make the decision every time when we hear the word, am I going to listen? Is it going to be mine? Am I going to decide, yes, that's what I want for my life? Or we decide not to. It determines our eternal fate, and it depends a lot on the decisions and things that happen to us throughout all of living and life here as well. We can't help but make the decision one way or the other. All things written about Christ our Lord are brought to us through the church. And here we are called to know these things, know the word, and then explain it to each other. The church is also called to expound this message. Dig into it, explain it, and then also to enforce it. This is done through the skill of the opened understanding. It is done as we pray for our pastors, those who are Sunday school teachers, praying for ourselves that we can bring out what God has taught to us through His Word so that we can be the teachers of those around us. It starts at home and in our families. It goes in the church. And it is, my friends, a message that is quick and powerful. I know that there's some deer hunters around here. And they take care of their deer when they get them. You got to have a sharp knife, don't you? I know, because we do that too. And dull knives don't work. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It cuts between the quick and the marrow. That's one of the hardest parts to cut when you're cleaning animals. The Word of God does that. It gets right in there and cuts between those hard places. Now, as that word is that way, it begins to cut sometimes even for us. Because when the Word of God comes to us, it's God Himself. And He's called us to be a part of His kingdom, but we don't always match up. So there has to be some cutting done by this very historical figure. Now, when I ask you this question, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you believe that George Washington, the first president of our country, existed? Did he live in this country? How about Napoleon Bonaparte? Did he live? Yeah, I think he did, didn't he? Now, there were contemporaries that wrote about each of these men. That means people that lived at the same time that they lived. And we have that recorded history. Do you realize that there's more written about Jesus, the Christ, by his contemporaries than both of them put together? This very historical figure lived. He lived here on this earth. Jesus, the very Christ. And this Christ did some very important events in his life. So did George Washington. There's some main events in his life. He led the armies and became our first president. Well, we know about Napoleon, too. He met his Waterloo and other things in his life. But there's some main events in Jesus Christ's life as well, and we find that in verse 46, don't we? He said, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." You know what he could have done? Satan tempted with this. He had all the powers to take over the world. But he knew a better way to take over that world, and that was to suffer and die for you and me. And the next verse gives us the reason for that. The reason that we're here today is because we have the opportunity of repent. The reason is that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name here and then to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. That's the basis of our message and how beautiful it is. But it tells us that we are to repent of sins. What do we mean by sin? Is sin any sin anymore? Is it really sin? My wife drove up here this morning, and I noticed some signs that said on the road, you know, they're pretty good signs, it says 55. And I looked over, and I think it was a little above that. It wasn't quite a bit, but it was some. And, you know, it's kind of that way, isn't it? A lot of times we kind of want to push the edge a little bit. And sometimes instead of out and out swearing, we use a little slang in our life. And I wonder sometimes if we think that that abbreviated swearing is not really swearing. Everybody knows what you mean. Is there a polite way of using God's name in vain? I don't think so. You see, sin can creep in. It starts with some little things, just a little bit out of the box, so to speak. Satan doesn't come with the big sins right away. He comes with those little ones to start with, and we begin to drift. I ask that question, is sin really sin anymore? Jesus spoke this message, first of all, to his own. Remember I said it was the 11 and then those that were gathered with him. Today it's us here in this gathering. Repentance of sins needs to be preached to all people, for we are like sheep that continually go astray. Little by little, it seems to creep in. And we need to be reminded that we need to come, each and every one of us, before the Lord and be repentant. We said those words in our confession of sin this morning. Did you really mean it? Did you realize that sin is in your life? For we are not perfect. In the description of sin in the Bible, it was used as the mark on the target that those arrow shooters would shoot towards. And in those targets, they had no other lines. It was just the center. And either you hit the target or you missed it. It was one way or the other. No changing it whatsoever. And even the best of the marksmen occasionally missed the mark. Even the best of people missed the mark of the holiness of God. We are not a perfect people. We have sin in our lives that needs to be repented of. And then we could go on into other sins. My, it just seems like there's no end. The papers even are full of it. Is sin sin anymore? Where does it start? It starts with the little thing. Our churches need to point out the fact that we are sinners and that we need to come to this point of being repentant before our God, each and every one of us. Then, as we do come before Him, we need to realize to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the joyful part of the message that we hear, that there is a repentance for forgiveness for us. This needs to be proclaimed in His name. And not only is it for us, Jesus said, it's for all generations, for all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. It is good that we have heard this from Jerusalem, our best friend. From our Jewish nation friends came the Savior. God has promised to those who respect and uplift that Jewish nation that He would uplift and respect them. Remember that. Now today, you are the hearers of the message that God has given here in our text today. And the Father promises to us that He would send His Spirit to those who are hearers of that message. He does the same today. He sends His Spirit to those who are hearers. That promised Spirit is given. It's given in baptism, of course, but it's also given in the hearing of the Word. For you remember, this is God coming to us, as we heard in John 1:1, John 1:14, and through our message, these are my words that is recorded in our text today. The Spirit of God is given in the hearing, it's given in the study of the Word, it's given in communion. It's given in Christian fellowship as we gather together in God's house as God's people. When Jesus promised that to them, He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted His hands and blessed them. What did they see in His hands? The nail scars. What did that tell them? He was the one nailed to the cross. He was the one that was nailed there with a reason. He could have taken over the whole world. But He found a better way. By going to the cross, He could take over that whole world to give to you and to me forgiveness as we repent. Well, repentance also means turning from those wicked ways, turning to the new way. Walking in the way of life. as those that were there saw all that Jesus had done, and then as we see this last part of our text today, it talks about the ascension. There's some time between this meeting that Jesus was in. These disciples had gone to Jerusalem, and they returned there. They'd returned there with great joy because of all the message they'd heard. And they were continually in the temple praising God. We need to be in the temple and praising God as well. Joyful because of the message that God has given to us. He is here. We are not alone. In the worst of life situations, God is still there. I've been in some of those. Health problems, loved ones gone. We have a blessed hope, don't we? A blessed hope and even eternal healing. Praise God for that. Praise God for the message that we have heard and live joyfully, ready to have a good time with this life. God has promised the best for us, and He gives it to those who are His. Be in great joy that you could be in God's house above all else. You know, I have to add this just in closing. As a pastor, I've served for over 30 years. I've heard some of the dumbest, lamest, awful sometimes excuses for people not to be in church. They put some of the dumbest things over the kingdom of God in their life. Could you imagine somebody doing that? I think we've all done it. What a beautiful thing it is to come into the house of God. To hear His word brought to us. The beautiful message that we, by repentance, can have forgiveness of our sins and a clean slate and go forward from today and forward. Walking in the way of life in Jesus Christ our Lord. May God lead us, each and every one of us. It's up to us. We do make that decision. God honors it. It'll be ours for eternity. May God lead us then in the way of life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You have not hidden these things from us. You have brought them out plainly to us through your word. Through even the foolishness of preaching, you have brought them to us. Your word explains so that we understand that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for each one that is here. Lord, I would love to see each of them in your heaven. Bless them. Guide them. Lead them in the way of life. Lord, I pray even more that I myself would be there. Lead me in the way of life, Lord. Lead my family in the way of life. I'd love to see them there. Thank you, Lord, that they can be led because your word is quick and powerful. It will cut at times, but it cuts away what's evil and grafts into us what is good. Thank you for that, Lord, for that beautiful opportunity, that message that you give to us through that word. That leads us to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, lead us on in Him. We seek it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 505, Even Me.